Welcome to the Great Outdoor Show on WLVL, presented by Destination Niagara USA. To be a part of today's show, call in anytime, 716-433-1433.
Tuesday, December 14th, with my friend Frank Campbell from the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara USA. Ooh, that is quite a title.
Good morning. That'd be important, huh, Eric?
Yeah, good morning, Frank. What's going on this morning? How are you?
Hey, good morning, Eric. Just enjoying the beautiful sun that we have outside. And, you know, we've got some gorgeous weather coming up. And, man, I like it. I'm liking it.
Isn't it just beautiful? I just stepped outside for a minute in between programs just to catch a little breath of fresh air. And I really, it's an absolutely glorious, glorious day. So I was listening to you talk this morning when you were on with John and Stephanie talking about the murky waters of the lake. But I was also fishing around, get it, fishing around, on Facebook. And one of the Lockport pages said, you know, the question was, how come they haven't lowered the canal yet? Ah. And then I did a little deeper research. And the governor is keeping the canal open in this region a little bit longer than most because there's some pretty good fishing in the canal still. What do you know about that?
Well, actually, there is a byproduct or a by-benefit to having the canal high. And that's you can still fish in the canal and catch some fish. But the real reasoning behind having the canal still have water in it is due to the fact that we're trying to entice or enhance fishing opportunities along the tributaries of Lake Ontario. So a lot of people probably don't realize, but the canal feeds or is one of the water sources for a lot of these tributaries here locally. It's 18 Mile Creek, and it's also Oak Orchard in the area. And by holding back water, they can actually release it when the water starts getting low or we need to spur a run of fish up into the tributaries. So it's like an artificial rain event that we can control. Basically, it's coming up on the last one. They've been releasing them since sometime in the beginning of September to, enhance the fishing opportunities in the tributaries. So it's not actually for the canal. The canal's been closed for a little while. It does offer more fishing opportunities, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's the big reasoning behind that was the Canal Corporation's, idea of a pilot program to enhance tributary fishing by flowing some more water through there starting in September. I just had a meeting or an online meeting probably about a month and a half ago with some of the guys from the Canal Corporation as to the effectiveness of the program. And we're finding it's pretty doggone effective. I mean, it spurred runs of fish up into these tributaries earlier and without any rain events. So it's a little bit of human intervention into nature, but it's creating a lot of opportunities.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to see that somebody's paying attention.
Yeah.
Everybody always has this doom and gloom point of view on government agencies, and that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of good governmental people that are really trying to take care of the folks here in Niagara County and Western New York, as well as, you know, the ecology, taking care of, make sure that the fish are in good shape, the animals are where they need to be numbers wise and everything else. Speaking of animal numbers, what's going on with our hunting season here?
Well, we're starting to wind down a little bit. I mean, it's going to be, you know, muzzle loader only pretty soon. The guys that have put in time during shotgun season, a lot of them harvested deer. It was a good fall, especially locally. A lot of big bucks were taken, and you know it tells that some of the things the DEC is doing are creating a positive impact. The deer herd, you hear a little bit of a mixed review, but overall, most of the guys that I've talked to had a successful season, and there's some doggone big deer in, here in Niagara County. Mike Johannes' kid actually had a great deer. So
nice. How about, I read somewhere that I think it's in maybe Chautauqua County or something like that, where there's a bear hotline. Is that still going on? There's like one bear a day they're allowing.
Did you read about that? No, I didn't. But I could tell you that the bear population definitely in the state has expanded over the course of the last several years. I mean, there's been bear sightings in Niagara County.
Yeah.
You know, so we do have some bear around here. I don't know if they're residents as much as they are transient bears, but, you know, it's definitely something that's you know, taken hold and expanded. They've definitely expanded their range up into areas where, you know, when I was a kid, a bear, what are you talking about? There's no bear around here. Yeah, there's been bears sighted in Lewiston where I live, so it's pretty unique.
Yeah, going through the garbage in Newfane here a couple of years ago. I remember at one of the restaurants.
Yeah, I don't know if you're ever going to see a season, you know, up here per se, but, right. You know, it's nice to know that something's being managed and that their range is, you know, expanding, you know, and that goes for wildlife. But also, you know, I just got some information recently from the DEC on fish stocking. Where actually looks like we're going to get some more salmon stocked into Lake Ontario to the tune of about 100,000 fish.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it's a big win because we've been going down for several years, but they, in their management of the bait fish situation, have deemed that, you know, the bait fish numbers are starting to go up, and they're going up to the point where, you know, they felt it safe to introduce some more salmon into the system. And the nicest, you know, part of this is these salmon are going to be pen-reared, which means that, yes, they're stocking about 100,000 fish to be pen-reared, but if they're all pen-reared, it's actually a 2-to-1, 2.5-to-1 return fish-wise over direct-stocked fish. So we're actually, you know, if you really think about it, getting a couple 100,000 fish. So, you know, big positive. We've been fighting, I'm not saying fighting for, but we've been in support of, you know, a stocking increase for several years now. And the DEC, along with the USGS, has done some research that says the bait fish numbers, as far as alewives in Lake Ontario, is, you know, reaching the point of one-year-old, you know, newly introduced prey fish that, you know, they found it okay to start stocking. We also have a good year class of four-year-old bait fish. So, you know, things are looking up for Lake Ontario, and that's what we talked about, the management style or scenario. Kudos to the DEC for, you know, I didn't think we were going to actually see it, but, you know, increasing the stocking and doing what's, you know, best for the lake. You know, a lot of times or a lot of years, you know, the guys were complaining that, you know, they didn't listen, they wouldn't do anything positive. Well, here's proof that, you know, they are listening and they are doing positive. It's a great win for Lake Ontario.
Absolutely, it is. Boy, I'm so glad to hear that. So what fish are hot right now?
Well, actually, Eric, fishing has been pretty doggone good, at least on the lower river and the Niagara Bar, which is really where it's concentrated right now. The tributaries do have some fish in them. They're starting to get some fresh steelhead run up 18 Mile Creek and some of the smaller creeks, but really the majority of the fish in there are leftover king and coho salmon and, you know, a few leftover brown trout. But the real emphasis has been on the Niagara River and the Niagara Bar. A lot of boats were fishing last week when I was out. I actually had a media visit in from Joe Cermelli, who is part of the Meat Eater crew, and he came in to fish, film his B-side, which is a YouTube channel that they have. And, you know, our first pursuit was lake trout, because they opened December 1st. So Joe targeted coming up December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, which we did. We actually had a great day on December 1st, caught a pile of lake trout on the bar, both with jigs and with jigging spoons. And we also caught brown trout out on the bar. We also caught, we caught a few walleye out there. And we caught something pretty unique. I've never caught one, never heard of one. And I've never seen one in this end of Lake Ontario. We caught a lake whitefish.
Really?
Yeah, lake whitefish is pretty rare. You know, they're trying to get their numbers back up, and there are some on the eastern end, but this is in 37 years of fishing the river, the first whitefish that I've ever heard of or seen. So it was pretty unique. It was pretty awesome. And when we took some pictures and let it go. We sent the pictures into the DEC guys, and they were like, what? Where'd you get that?
Really?
So, yeah, fishing's, you know, it's on course to be a very good year. Steelhead numbers are, you know, up exceptionally in the river. So, you know, just looking forward to getting on to some good fishing.
Very good. Well, for those of you who may be just joining us, we are here with Frank Campbell, who is the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara USA. Oh, we had a caller, but they gave up. I was just ready to answer that. But if you have any questions for Frank, you can feel free to call us at 433-1433. That's 433-1433. So you had some other things on your pad there. I see that we're some other topics of discussion here.
Yeah, I mean,
what else we got to go over this morning?
Talked about the fishing, talked about how the fishing should continue to be good and how it was good last week. But unfortunately, we hit a little stop sign, and that was called Mother Nature and the wind that she brought. I mean, it was crazy winds. And you think about what went on Saturday and, you know, all the negative effects it had on trees and, you know, houses and people and everything else. But it also has a negative effect, a long lingering effect on the water. The water has gotten dirty on Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, and the lower river. And, you know, the fish aren't going to be biting anytime soon from what I saw yesterday as far as the water color was pretty brown. You know, what happens is we go from a clear water scenario where, you know, the visibility is 10 to 15 feet, you know, going to when a wind blows and the water gets dirty up to, you know, inches. So it's a big change. It's a drastic change and it's a quick change. And all of those things are not good for fish or for fishing opportunities. And usually when we say the water gets dirty, it's usually a don't go fishing scenario. So, you know, yes, if you just want to get out there and enjoy the beautiful weather, that's one thing. There's always an opportunity to get lucky, but overall, you're not going to catch great numbers of fish as, you know, as the water is pretty dirty. A lot of people think, well, you know, is the water dirty because it's polluted? No, it's a natural occurrence where we have, you know, big waves on Lake Erie, and the waves this time were up in the 20-plus foot range, which is, you know, you're talking oceanic waves, but,
right.
You know, it pounds the shoreline, and it sucks the dirt and, you know, clay and sand and everything else off the shore and actually deposits into the water and spreads through the water column as the water is about where it's optimum to hold things at 39, 40, 40, low 40 degrees wise, and things suspend for the longest. It's when the water is at its thickest point is 40 degrees. So it's holding these particles or suspended these particles for longer, and it's just dirt and particles of clay and sand floating in the water and getting the whole water system dirty.
Very good. That's really fascinating stuff. We have a caller. Let's see what's going on here. Good morning, caller. You're on WLVL with Frank Campbell.
Frank Campbell. Oh, geez, maybe I have a wrong number. I was looking for the second greatest outdoor show.
Well, the second one is definitely here. Good morning, Mr. Hiltz. Welcome to Ask the Pro, but we know that you're a pro in so many other ways. We could probably be asking you questions.
Yes, the great Bill Hiltz. Good morning, Bill. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. It's a beautiful day out there, and too bad we didn't have more of an opportunity to fish places like the Niagara River, but that windstorm really put some heard on the fishing activities.
Yeah, it did. I mean, there's no doubt it was going strong prior to that. And we, you know, it looks like we're going to be in it for the long haul. It's just going to probably start clearing up about Thursday. And guess what? They're calling for more wind on Thursday.
Yeah, in fact, they were comparing it to Saturday. They said it wasn't going to be as bad, but it was going to be significant enough that it's going to create some problems for people again. So, you know, I really think that we've been hampered by these winds for a little while here, and it's definitely hurting people getting on the water. The shore fishermen normally can take advantage of more stained conditions because those trout are cruising the shoreline looking for clearer water. But, you know, even some of the shore guys aren't going out until Friday.
Yeah. You know, and it's crazy how many guys were fishing from shore in the lower river and being really successful at it. I mean, they were catching some fish, and that's their cue is when the water gets a little dirty. You know, they wait a day or two, and optimum conditions arrive with a few feet visibility along the shore, and the fish really gravitate there. So they they take advantage of a dirty water situation.
Yeah, we're blessed being able to have all these different options, whether it's the lower river or upper river. I was talking to a guy, he went out bass fishing up on Lake Erie. He was fishing out of Barcelona, actually. And he went bass fishing to a spot that he knows that the bass like to hold. It was a rock pile in 20 feet of water, and he went out there and he started catching lake trout one right after the other. They were in for spawning, and he said it was the best day of fishing he ever had in his life. So you never know when you're going to get into them like that, but you know, the diversity that we have here and the kind of fish, the opportunities, whether from shore, whether from a boat, the number of guides that we have here in the area to be able to take you out and have that experience if you don't have your own boat. You know, I think there's just so many different things that are available to you.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. And, you know, while we're on the topic of guides and things of that nature, we have something called Christmas coming right around the corner, you know, and I just want to put a plug in for the local captains. And, you know, it's an opportunity that if you haven't thought of a gift, you know, a great gift would be a charter on the form of a gift certificate. You know, so if you call one of the captains, ask them if they have gift certificates. What an awesome present for somebody that you love to get out there and fish with the captain. You know, also local tackle shops have the gift certificate option. So, you know, instead of getting the tie and getting the old socks, you know, this might be an opportunity for people to get out and enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah, I actually covered that in my Christmas column in the Buffalo News last Sunday, talking about different unique outdoor gift items and a gift of a charter, whether you want to gift it to, you know, father and son or father and daughter or grandfather, and his son with the grandson involved. You know, there's just so many opportunities. If somebody has their own boat and they're a little not as knowledgeable as they should be for fishing for walleye in Lake Erie, you know, hire a charter and you get some shortcuts there to be able to benefit from so that you can be successful too. You know, you don't have to go with a longer pattern of trying to figure things out yourself. You can use that charter captain as an educational tool, which I think is a good segue into the Greater Niagara Fishing and Outdoor Expo.
Yes, sir.
Because there are going to be all kinds of experts there to help you with those shortcuts. And that was another part of the column that I talked about, because, you know, just admission ticket to the show, which is $10 for one day, but $20 for all 4 days. This is February 17th to the 20th. The show is still moving forward. We're hoping to pull it all off. And the amazing thing is there are over 200 free seminars. You could go on the website at NiagaraFishingExpo.com and see what a lot of those attractions for the show are. I don't think the schedules are out yet. Joe Yeager is working on them. But this year, in addition to admission to the show, there's some unique educational opportunities that are a pay-to-play type of thing. And there's more education for the fly fishermen. Whether you're decent at fly fishing, you can expand that knowledge because of some of the experts coming in. But if you want to learn how to fly fish, there are some beginner schools and casting instruction. There's private fly tying classes from some of the best in the business. You know, we have Rick Custage, Scott Feltrinelli that are just an example of some of those local experts that we have here. And seating is limited for some of these things. So it's a pay-to-play type thing. And there's a fly fishing social designed by fly fishermen for fly fishermen that you don't want to miss. There's going to be education involved. There's going to be some unique vendors or exhibitors just for that Friday night fly fishing social. There's a brand new walleye school that's tailored after the salmon school that lots of folks put together. Now that salmon school is almost sold out. There was maybe a dozen seats left the last time I talked to Jaeger. So if you were thinking about signing up for that, you know, you're going to have to move quick. I know that Vince Pierleone and Brian Garrett were two of the three, and I think Gahan from Michigan, I forget what his first name is, but he's also coming in, very popular, very knowledgeable, and those three guys are putting together a full-day program on salmon fishing. They're doing the same thing with walleye fishing. And they're just getting it off the ground this year. I think there's still seats available, probably half of what they're offering. And that would make a great gift for somebody too. This is for people that want to expand their knowledge. They're already in tune with either the salmon or the walleye fishing, but this ramps things up. You know, it's for people that are diehards and really want to get better at what they do out there. There's also a super kids fishing clinic for the adults and the kids. And it's a two-hour session on Sunday morning. There's two of them, two-hour sessions. And the cost is $10 for the adult. But that includes your admission. So essentially, you're getting this free, except you're going to have reserved seating for this. It's with the assistance of DEC, Bureau of Fisheries, and with some of the local kids teaching fishing experts, and you can take up to two kids with you. So for $10, you can reserve your seat for Sunday morning, bring up to two kids, and it's a great way to learn not only about getting those kids fishing, but places where you can go fishing and figure things out here in Western New York, because there's a lot of great places to take kids out. And there's also going to be beginner schools on salmon fishing, walleye fishing, bass, and kayak fishing. So if you've ever wanted to learn more about how to get started with bass fishing, there's going to be some local experts there giving you the in-depth knowledge that you need to get started. So, you know, take a look at that website, NiagaraFishingExpo.com, and you can see how many different educational opportunities are available for you. And a shortcut for the kids and the senior anglers alike. So, you know, take advantage of it. That's why it's there. They call it the Teaching Fishing Expo, and that's the biggest reason for it. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that, Bill. You know, I mean, I've been fishing the river for about 35 years in that range. And, you know, even myself who, you know, I guess I would be considered knowledgeable with the river. I go to these seminars and, you know, you'll learn something. You pick up one little thing. It can be the difference between having a bad day out there and, you know, having a great day. It's hard to have, you know, every scenario or know every new bait coming out, but this is an opportunity to take that shortcut and learn. And I think that's the key to being a, you know, a good fisherman or a good fisher person is, you know, taking the time to learn, because every time out there you should learn. This is that shortcut to learning. And I do know that, you know, with over 200 seminars, I think the average person that attended last year attended like 7 or 8 seminars during the time that they were there. So they attended the seminars, they learned about stuff, and then there's an opportunity to go on the floor and purchase some of the stuff that you learned about. So, you know, it's an all-inclusive, all, you know, in one opportunity to learn and then get what you need, and then you go out there during the year, and you know you're going to be a better angler before the year even starts. So that's excellent opportunity, and they you know, as you said, it's an excellent gift to give somebody. You know, the gift of knowledge is something that you know no one can ever take away from you.
Yeah, for sure, Frank, and I got to say, Melissa Gearhart with Conference and Event Center, Niagara Falls, where it's held, you know, she does an excellent job with the facility. It's made for a show like this because of all the rooms that they have designed specifically for these kinds of seminars, state-of-the-art electronics, and it works out so well there. And then Joe Yeager has done an excellent job putting together this education. You know, it's unbelievable the amount of opportunities, the amount of diversity that you can learn from this show. I mean, it's on top of some of these big name people that are coming in, you know, that guys like the local experts that we have. But from outside the area, you have Mark and Jake Romanek with the Fishing 411 television show. You've got Lance Valentine, who is one of the speakers for the walleye school that they've put together. They have George Hinchcliffe.
Yep.
Is that the right guy that I'm
Roger Hinchcliffe.
But he's phenomenal with steelhead fishing, and for sure, Roger Hinchcliffe, he is unbelievable, and we were fortunate that he didn't have something booked for this particular 4 days of the show. The show has expanded to 4 days just to be able to get all this extra education in. And we're really looking forward to it. You know, hopefully we're going to be able to get in there and teach people the vast resources that we have here in Western New York and expand their knowledge. They'll start catching fish. And once you start catching fish, you have a better time. You're more willing to share that knowledge with family and friends. And it's like a big snowball that continues to roll.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest complaint that I've heard about the expo is that it offers too much. There's too much education there. And that's why they expanded another day. I mean, let's put it plain and simply. They needed another day to offer the opportunity for these people to spread out their seminars, you know, to get to the things that they want to. So, you know, they do a great job with their website. Probably all the seminars will be updated sometime in January. You go online, you look at the seminars you want to go to, if they're paid, if they're free, whatever, and you set up your schedule and, you know, get to them, and then you go out on the floor and get what you need. And, you know, as I said, you're going to be a better angler at the end of this show. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, and, you know, I see that you're one of the speakers, too. What are you going to be talking on, Frank?
Well, Bill, they usually throw me in there wherever they need me. You know, could be bass, could be lower river steelhead, could be lower river brown trout, could be salmon fishing. My guess is that it'll be something tied either to Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, or lower river. But you never know. Joe may have me, you know, doing some jetpack fishing up on a Mars seminar.
and it's important to note, it's not just all boat fishing education either. There's a tremendous amount of stream fishing and shore fishing opportunities for these seminars that, you know, you don't need a boat to be involved in. And that's important. You know, there's an awful lot of people out here that don't have a boat, and they're looking to expand their knowledge on how to fish the tributaries, the lower Niagara River, and wherever.
Well, the nice thing is the area that we live in, you know, there's so many opportunities to, you know, pursue the fish in so many different ways and so many different areas. You know, this fits right into, you know, being a complete angler, I guess, and knowing how to tributary fish. And then, you know, you can go to seminar and open water walleye. And then there's, you know, probably a lower river drift fishing for smallmouth. I mean, the opportunities are endless here on the river as far as fishing, and the opportunities are endless at the show for, you know, the knowledge to gain to, you know, be a successful angler here.
Sure, sure.
Well-rounded.
Well, you know, there's still plenty of time before Christmas to go ahead and sign up and grab some type of a ticket that you can put in for a stocking stuffer or even just for the show itself. And a lot of these offerings are limited space. So, yep. You know, go on there, take a look at everything. There's a lot of information on that website at NiagaraFishingExpo.com.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I guess we'd be a little remiss if we didn't also add to, you know, when you come to the show and you attend a bass seminar, there's an opportunity to fill out a simple survey and you get entered into the, you know, the opportunity to go down to the Bassmaster Classic on a VIP visit. So, you know, the show is giving away a two-person, you know, trip to the Bassmaster Classic where they're giving away a gift card to cover some travel. They're giving away hotel rooms. They're giving away meals. They're giving away VIP seating. They're giving away a little, you know, fishing package. It's valued at over $2,000, and all you have to do is attend the show and, you know, attend one of the bass seminars, or there's going to be, you know, tickets available. I mean, what an opportunity if you're a true bass fisherman to, you know, get out there, and you're never going to have a chance like this again to go to the Bassmaster Classic in a VIP form like this.
Yeah, I agree with you. We gave that same package out. It was two years ago, right? It was probably January of 2020. So we had that opportunity for somebody to win a package to attend the Bassmaster Classic, and that one was at Lake Guntersville in Alabama. And it was a guy from North Tonawanda, Charles Waldorf. I don't know if I can remember his last name.
Waldorf.
Yep. I should have remembered that because I just had a Waldorf salad last night. But
surprise!
He had a great time. He actually is a freelance photographer, and he attends a lot of these events. He hadn't planned on going to this particular Bassmaster Classic, and he had a blast. That was the one that Hank Cherry won, and he is still talking about it. But if you go on the website, NiagaraFishingExpo.com, he wrote up a little thing in his experience. Go to the newsletter section of the toolbar at the top of the homepage, and Volume 5 explains all about this Bassmaster Classic prize and about Charles's experience when he was in Alabama in 2020. So, you know, this is a great opportunity for somebody to attend that show. There's not a lot of turnaround time because the show is February 17th to the 20th, and I think the Bassmaster Classic is like the first or second week in March. So, you know, you're going to have to really move fast to make sure you have your reservations in line and take care of your own personal schedule or calendar.
Yes, yeah, so some things are worth redoing your calendar and schedule for, and this would be one of them. I mean, as I said, this is a VIP opportunity to, you know, be up in close personal to, you know, what they call the greatest show in fishing. So, you know, it's pretty neat opportunity, and, you know, just one of the many, many things that you can, you know, take part in it, down at the Greater Niagara Outdoor and Fishing Expo.
Yep. Well, it's you're doing a good job, Frank. Keep up the good work, and have yourself a good Christmas holiday.
You too, Bill. I'm going to throw a few people under the bus here for a second. Not you, but a few other people. I heard a little birdie talking this morning at the station that they're actually having a meatloaf contest here on Friday. So you might want to give somebody a call and see if you can become involved in that. Sounds like it's a big deal.
A meatloaf contest on Friday?
Yeah, they're having a meatloaf bake-off, Bill.
Yes, it's a meatloaf-off.
Yeah.
Well, I might have to do my world-famous venison meatloaf.
Ooh, could add another column to the sheet there, Stephanie.
I knew when they talked about Ask the Pro, when it came to cooking and consuming what you cook, Bill Hiltz is the man. So I thought about you instantly, Bill.
Oh, yeah. I got to do something on my retirement.
Yeah, I know you like to cook, and that's a good thing, and you're very good at it. So, you know, I'm putting my money on you, Bill. That's all I'm saying. If you show up, they're done.
Well, thank you, Frank. And we'll be keeping in touch for sure.
Yes, thank you, Bill. If I don't see you, have a good Christmas.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to hear from Bill Hiltz, Jr. So Frank, this unless you have something else on topic. Oh, you still with us, bro?
He's telling Alexa to shut off something.
Telling Alexa to get rid of that Frank and Eric.
Alexa, what's the meatloaf recipe?
That's right. So, I heard this morning you were talking about this events and conference center that your organization is kind of sliding into that position, taking things over a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that for those who may have missed it in the morning show this morning.
Destination Niagara, which is where my desk is located. You know, I'm a county employee, but I work through the tourism office, Destination Niagara USA, so that's where my physical desk is, where it has all the paperwork on it. But basically, they are taking over management of the conference center of Niagara Falls. It was previously managed by an out-of-state company, and it was felt that, you know, we have a pretty vested interest in the tourism market down there, and they saw it as being a great opportunity and a great fit, and, you know, keeping it local and keeping it with somebody that has some, for lack of better terms, skin in the game. So,
sure,
you know, the tourism agency, it's really what they do. It's just going to be an expanded expansion of what they, you know, already do. And, you know, the conference center staff does a great job down there. It's just a matter of, you know, managing styles and how it's going to be managed. And, you know, being the lead agency for tourism in Niagara County, it kind of made sense, and it was a great fit. So, you know, as of, I think, January 1st, it's going to be you know, Destination Niagara USA, which oversees the conference and events center of Niagara Falls.
Man, it's just fantastic
to
see the growth here. So we're here with Frank Campbell, who is the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara USA for the next, 10 minutes or so. So if you have any questions for Frank, feel free to give us a call at 433-1433 here on WLVL 1340 AM 105.3 FM, streaming worldwide on the interwebs at WLVL.com. And don't forget, if there's something that we were speaking about today and you missed it, you can always go to WLVL.com, hit the podcast button, and it will give you a list of programs. And sure enough, this today will show up, and you can re-listen to everything that Frank and Bill talked about and get any details that you might have missed. It's just another great thing here about WLVL.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Frank.
So, you know, before Bill had called, we were talking about the local fishing and, you know, how, you know, the opportunities were being diminished a little bit by dirty water. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, basically, the way that I see it is these fish, when we do get back on the water, at least boat-wise, they're not going to have been touched or, you know, have been messed with for sometimes a week, 2 weeks. So they're going to want to be on the feed, and that is some of the best opportunities. If you can catch the water on the clear or just clearing up, you know, it's probably an opportunity to have a day of a lifetime. You know, and that's just from previous experience where, you know, you just wait it out and you time it right and suddenly the water's getting right, and it hits it. And these fish that haven't been able to feed heavily for a week, days, are really on the bite. So keep your eye out for that. Keep your eye out on the reports. And if you see that water clearing and going from that brown color into a green or bluish phase, that's the opportunity to get out there, get out in your boat, book a charter. You know, you can be handsomely rewarded with some of the best fishing of your life, you know, be it steelhead, brown trout, lake trout. There's some walleye still around. There's actually some warm water bass still around as long as the water stays over 40 degrees. Opportunities abound, you know, is I guess the best way to put it.
Sure.
You know, and another neat thing, you know, as I was out last week and, you know, we were talking fishing, but I'm drifting out there out in the Niagara Bar, and I looked over and I saw, you know, a bird that I haven't seen. So, you know, I took a couple pictures of it and did a little bit of research on it and called my friends over at the DEC office, and lo and behold, it's a razorbill. And razorbills are normally home in the North Atlantic, so we don't see them here. As a matter of fact, the last sighting of a razorbill in the Niagara area was like 2005, where it was blowing off course. That's probably what happened with these birds. They got blown off course with some weather. And, you know, I look up one day at Fort Niagara. I'm like, man, Fort Niagara's got a lot of visitors today. But they all had spotting scopes and cameras. They were out there getting this bird of a lifetime opportunity. Wow. So, you know, it was pretty neat. The Niagara area, that fish, that bird will probably stay there all winter if nothing crazy happens. They can feed very well, and, you know, it's exactly what they do. They're a deep diving bird, and there's a lot of bait out on the bar right now, so they're right at home. But not only is there one, there's also a few others out there. I think I've seen up to about three, so, you know, a little, if you're a birder or you want an opportunity to see a pretty unique bird, you know, it's almost penguin-like looking. It's pretty crazy.
Really? That'd be fun to see. So maybe if there's a male and a female, we could get a little family started here in western New York, huh?
Yeah, we'll relocate them.
That's right.
But, it's, you know, that was a pretty unique find. And then, as I said, I was out with Joe Cermelli from Meat Eaters B-Side filming a little bit the other day. And we caught some Lakers. We caught some browns on the bar. We caught walleye on the bar. And then Joe hooked up with the fish, you know, and it was fighting a little bit funny. And I said, you know, it might be a brown. It could be a salmon. Who knows? The water's warm. And, you know, in the end, we pulled it up, and it was actually a lake whitefish. The first lake whitefish I've ever seen in the area in the 30-plus years that I've been fishing, the first lake whitefish that I've heard about. You know, we took some pictures. We let it go. And, you know, I passed it on to the DEC, and they were pretty excited with the fact that a whitefish was out in our area, and it was an adult in size. I mean, it was probably about, I would guess, 7-8 pounds, somewhere in that range, which is fairly large for a whitefish. And to have it here, you know, tells me something good's going on. We're seeing those type of fish. We're seeing last spring, fall, for the first time I caught Cisco's out on the bar. So things are changing a little bit. It's maybe a comeback to some of these fish that have gone away for a little while, and tells us either, you know, they're doing a better job taking care of the fishery or the water's cleaning up. It's just a pretty unique thing to see, and, you know, I was glad to be able to be part of two fish that I've never seen before within the last year.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I remember as a kid, because we're about the same age, and as a kid, you know, you wouldn't dare eat anything out of Lake Ontario.
Eric, I dyed my hair gray. I'm a lot younger than I look.
Oh, okay. You know, the joke was always three-eyed frogs and, you know, half a fin fish and stuff. But, you know, as we've gone through the growing up, I guess, and the lakes are looking so much cleaner. The canal's looking so much better. What is the, can we eat this, all this fish, much as we want?
You said that it looks cleaner, and yes, you are accurate. It is cleaner in both ways. It's cleaner visually, and that is due to the zebra mussel introduction. The zebra mussels filter out about a liter of water a day.
Really?
So they take a lot of the phytoplankton, zooplankton, you know, other things out of the water, but in turn, they also take some of the bad stuff out of the water. So we're finding that the zebra mussels are becoming a little bit toxified, which isn't a good thing. On the other side of the spectrum, the lake itself is cleaning up. You know, as far as being healthy for the first time ever in a very long time, as far as I know. The salmonoids or Chinook salmon are, you know, off the advisory against eating for women of childbearing age. So now women of childbearing age can enjoy a, you know, a salmon from Lake Ontario. I really didn't think I'd see that in my lifetime. So that's how far it's come as far as cleaning up chemical-wise. These fish are no longer finding ways to, you know, put chemicals into their body and, you know, becoming basically unconsumable. A lot of the advisories are coming off, and that's a giant step. I mean, when we're talking about people coming to the area and wanting to eat healthy, you know, a healthy fish, we now have them. I could say that, you know, I wouldn't be too concerned with eating, you know, a meal of Great Lakes trout or salmon, you know, at this point, especially after that advisory was put out there and, you know, put out there was taken off, you know, and these are studies done by the EPA, people like that. So it's, you know, it's a good thing. You are 100% correct. The lakes are cleaning up in both visually and as far as, you know, contamination-wise. So it's good. It's a good thing here.
It's absolutely fantastic, yeah. It's, yeah, again, I didn't think I would see it in my lifetime either.
Yeah.
And it's somebody's doing some making some really good decisions out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're cleaning up the lakes in a physical aspect, so they're taking, you know, they're doing some dredging. They're taking out contaminants, but they're also making companies that in the past were irresponsible, they're making them responsible. So they're making them responsible and making them, you know, help maintain the health of the waterways. And that's a huge step. I mean, you know, compared to where the Cuyahoga River, you know, caught on fire years ago,
yeah.
You know, we're a whole, you know, lifetime away from that at this point. And I think we're going in the right direction and we'll continue to go in the right direction for, you know, a pretty long time to come.
Yeah, for the foreseeable future, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's good stuff.
Yes, it is. It's so good to hear good news, isn't it, Frank?
Yes.
You know, the doom and gloom is not for everything and everybody. Listen, we have about a minute left. If you want to talk about, whatever you want to talk about, this Niagara Fishing Expo is pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good conversation.
But Bill and I laid a little bit of groundwork for it. You know, it's in the Conference and Events Center in Niagara Falls. It is February 17th to the 20th, and you know, it's an excellent opportunity to become a better angler. You know, again, we said if you want to you know, give a unique Christmas gift to somebody, you know, buy them the opportunity to become a better angler through education. You know, take care of, you know, those people going out and bringing fish home to eat. You know, you're giving them the opportunity to be a better angler. And, you know, again, it's the Niagara Outdoor Expo, and it's February 17th to the 20th, 2022, at the Event Center in downtown Niagara Falls.
And it can be reached at niagarafishingexpo.com.
Yeah, and that website's pretty updated. It's a pretty good resource to, you know, go through the seminars here. They should be loaded up probably sometime in January so you can make your schedule.
All right. Well, it's another successful day here on Ask the Pro with our friend Frank Campbell, who is, of course, the Niagara County Sport Fishing Coordinator and Outdoor Promotions Director for Destination Niagara USA. Frank, thanks an awful lot for joining us this morning. It's been an entertaining and educational session, and I hope to speak to you again in the very near future. And if I don't, I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, and go out there and do some fishing.
Thanks, Eric.
Be sure to stick around for Fox News and then the DJV show and Play and Buck at 12.